IVM.
All right, hello and welcome to Football Portal. My name is Saru and Yash is back. Yash, what's up?
Hello.
All right, Yash, I have a message which I asked you to read, but I don't think you're going to read it. So I will read it for you. Okay. And this is regarding your absence last week.
Oh, God.
So the message, here goes the message. Nobody is more frustrated and disappointed than Yash for missing the recording and the consequent loss of content. He's always assumed responsibilities and he's embraced to like record every week, but he failed last week. Do you know where I'm going with this?
No.
Dude, this is Bruno Fernandes' message for missing a penalty.
My God. So Twaddle members also have to put an Instagram post with apologies for their gaps and
The IVM guys would love it because there'll be someone else doing marketing other than just them. Okay, so before we get into the Champions League match, which we saw yesterday, let's talk about this Bruno thing, right? He just missed the penalty. Why is he...
This is an absolute shambles. I don't know what brand manager has asked them to do all of this crap. I mean, all of this is engagement, but there'll be more engagement if they win matches, I think. So,
but did you see after that, Manchester United loved the post. Paul Pogba, yeah. Cristiano loved. Even Van de Beek was like, go on.
Man, this all this new age, whatever. What comes after millennial, man? Whatever. The next generation crap is just too much for me to handle.
So what happens, Yash? Like, let's take this to the logical conclusions, right? So he's like really disappointed. He's apologizing and he's striving to do better for missing a penalty. Let us say in the next game, there is a Harry Maguire back pass, which leads to a goal. What's Harry going to do?
Harry will also apologize now. This is going to become a regular thing about players just putting in their apologies because, I mean, they get so much negative press and negative reactions online that I think this is just a token of whatever. Them trying to appearing to be responsible rather than just anything else. They just want that online hate to stop or whatever, just for them to move on. So
why is it so hard for like these players to just not even be on social media? Like take the Ranbir Kapoor route,
right? I think there must be a bunch of players who are not on social media. It's just, money talks, right? So all the sponsors and their brand deals really depend on how many Instagram followers, Twitter followers, etc. So that's not possible. But I feel they should just have a TM, just let their social media team handle it openly, their social media posts, rather than just pretend to, you know, have a personal social media account.
All right. So one thing, let's continue that match. I don't even remember. United lost that match, no?
Yeah. Last minute penalty to equalize.
Correct. Dude, it's been so long, I feel. I just completely forgot about it. So one thing is clear is that Bruno Fernandes is the chosen penalty taker, right?
Yeah, pretty much so. I mean...
So why was Cristiano Ronaldo hovering around Bruno like, bhai, mujhe lene de. Like, why?
We don't know what happened. I mean, there's a lot of passive aggression. Like, Ronaldo was standing on the exact spot from where his run-up starts for any penalty he takes. And Bruno was really clutching on to the ball as if it's his baby. So, I mean, there is some drama there, but eventually we'll find out what's going to happen.
Yeah. All right. So, this is what Solskjaer said after the game. This is football. He will step forward every day of the week for the club and the team. And sometimes it just doesn't go your way. It is such a fine line between heaven and hell. Wow. Our man is gone all like philosophical about
it. Yeah, he's losing it. No, he's never faced so much pressure as he's faced right now, I think. Because even when United's performances were terrible, this was 2 years ago and he had... a pretty terrible squad due to injuries and all that. Right now, he has Ronaldo. Almost everyone was fit. For him to lose that game, I think this is the most pressure he must have faced in his life, whether as a player or a manager.
Yeah, dude. I'll tell you why. Because if you just go through all the post-match speaking after the game,
yeah,
there's like things he didn't have to say, right? He didn't have to say, this is going to be the headline. Bruno has been excellent. And Cristiano is probably the one who has scored the most penalties in world football. Why? Why say such things?
Yeah. Well, he wants to deflect blame.
To what?
I don't know why does he have to do that. I mean, he's lost to Aston Villa. Now he has a game right now against Villarreal. But it's not like he's going to be splits Villa, even if he loses that.
Oh God, is that what? Okay, so let's just finish off all the United talk here. So obviously Armand Ole is under a lot of pressure. We can say that. Like even last season, even they're losing, as you said, there was always a way out, like for him. But I think mostly he will probably, like, you know, he has that luck where he just like gets 10 results on the go when he's about to be sacked. So maybe that'll work. And it starts today. We are recording this just before the Manchester United Villarreal game.
Yeah.
The match is in Theatre of Dreams. Is this, if United beat Villarreal, will it be revenge or will it just be whatever?
it seems like that. It's an inconsequential game after a final. I think it's quite likely United will thrash Villarreal.
Today?
They'll thrash Villarreal and the pressure on Ole will be relieved slightly, although, you know, winning a group game in a Champions League doesn't amount to much. So, I mean, he's won so many of these inconsequential games, right? I mean, the Europa League group stage, Champions League group stage, all those knockout rounds. It's just, when it's actually, you know, achieving something, he rarely performs. I mean, apart from that fourth place game against Leicester City 2 years back, I don't think he's won a contest.
That was also almost a done deal. It was like...
Yeah, because Brendan is a bigger bottler than he is.
All right. That's enough of Manchester United talk. Let's talk about... We nowadays record podcasts on Wednesday night and put it on Thursday because we think we can watch some really epic Champions League games and we can probably talk about it.
That's true.
And the Champions League game, the epic Champions League game we missed was AC Milan versus Atletico Madrid, which is going on because we wanted to watch Messi player, defensive midfielder, and Neymar player, left back, and Mbappe just trying to not pass the ball to Neymar. What a weird game it was, man.
Yeah, it was a strange game. It was a well-drilled team of good players with a good manager and great strategy and all that facing like a haphazard team full of the world's best players. So the latter one, I mean, no surprises there because...
No, they won. They won because Manchester Raheem Sterling is bad.
Okay. On his day, he'll be good. I think what made the difference was those last ditch tackles and blocks from Hakimi and who was it? Who was Kempembe, the left back? Kempembe was center back, right? I mean, he also blocked quite a few. But, I mean, these type of blocks, I don't see happen in the Premier League often. So, this is something that Premier League managers can possibly look at and pick up from how PSG played.
But, there was a Bonucci interview at the Athletic where he basically speaks about the art of defending. And he says, you know, for you TV guys and everything, sliding tackle and last ditch tackles, they seem to be the most cool ones. But you basically don't see a good defender trying to read a position and screaming at his fellow defender to adjust his position. That is so much more important because then you wouldn't be in a position for last ditch tackle. So, yes, I think you've fallen for TV defending and you want the entire Premier League to follow suit.
No, but I mean, against a great team like Man City who plays with a lot of pace, no matter how well positioned you are, I'm sure you'll need a considerably large amount of last ditch defending. Sterling being there.
Is this what PSG is now? Basically, you have three fellows who are like, look, we will do what we want. If we feel like defending, we will. And like most of your water carriers, just get the ball and give it to us.
Oh, man. I mean, sorry to bring it back to United, but I feel that it was such a bad decision to let Ander Herrera go. I mean, at the same time, United gave new contracts to our Lord Smaldini and Martial and I don't know, Ashley Young.
They didn't let Ander go. Ander also wanted to go because he wasn't getting games.
No, it happened the other way around. He wanted a contract. United wasn't giving him the money he wanted. And he wasn't signing the contract. It was on the table. That's why Ole stopped playing.
Achha, it worked the other way around that way. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Ander Herrera is good on his day. It's been 3-4 years, dude. Move on now.
It's fine. Okay. So moving on to that game, we saw so much of Messi's and Neymar's dribbling ability to just bail PSG out of trouble.
Oh, dude.
I mean, they were pressing the typical Man City press, them winning the ball in 10 seconds or how many seconds they take it. And you just see these two guys like beat people doing nutmegs and all. But these are not resulting in goals. This is just to progress the ball from the PSG box to half line.
Yeah. I mean, whatever said and done, you have to say, like, you know, you give the ball to Messi and Neymar, they will
produce.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the dream front. I mean, at least two of the three to have. If Mbappe decides to cooperate and not try to be like a third pole, they can have a lethal front.
Why was Mbappe trying to play like Maxim Choupo-Moting? Like, you know, why can't he just be himself? He knows he's there for one more year. Just enjoy, no? You're part of like probably like the most amazing front three.
That's true. I'm sure enough opportunities will fall to him, and he may want to go to Real. I'm sure PSG wouldn't care. He should just enjoy himself. Messi has been practically been a midfielder for a long time. He provided so many assists to Barca players. He could be a record-breaking season if he just befriends Messi.
I know. It's actually quite sad that, you know, Busquets hasn't scored more goals than he did for Barcelona, because Messi literally is handing out assists to everyone. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Lord Sergio didn't seem fit to try and score a few goals. Or like, let's talk, as Manas Singh from Sony says, guys, hold your breath. This is it. Sheriff. Oh, Sheriff. Beat Real Madrid 2-1. At the Bernabeu, I think the match was at Bernabeu.
Yeah. That's why it's such a big deal. Right?
Dude, what is this? Is amazing. So they score a goal, right. Then they're like peppered with like 32 shots. What a fluke penalty is what Benzema scores. And towards the end, that like the goal of the week.
It was superb, man. What a goal that was.
So this is supposedly the stat. He is the first, whoever scored that goal, he's the first Luxembourg player ever to score a goal in the Champions League.
Wow. And they had to pick a player from Luxembourg. And you know what, Saru? I was reading somewhere on Twitter. I mean, so it may not be completely true. But Moldova is this little country between Ukraine and Russia, I think.
And Russia.
Or Belarus.
Belarus, no?
I think Belarus and Ukraine. And despite it being so small, that has like a major secessionist movement at this place called Transnistria.
Which they want to be part of Russia.
Yes, something of that. So either independent, whatever. They're Azad Kashmir. And Sheriff is actually in a borough of Transnistria. So Real Madrid not only lost to Moldovan club, they literally lost to a club which could be a part of a micronation.
Dude, they lost to a street.
Yeah.
The population of Moldova is less than Madrid.
Dude, obviously.
No, not really. It may be.
I mean, Madrid is a world city. I mean, many world cities are much bigger than these small European countries.
What do you mean? Population of Prayagraj is more than Madrid, okay?
Dude, Prayagraj is a very, very big city.
All right. So that was Sheriff. And we saw the last 15 minutes of AC Milan versus Atletico Madrid. Yeah. And during the 15 minutes, there were enough opportunities for us to curse on why we were watching the PSG game and not the AC Milan Atletico.
So, and even the highlights that we watched later.
Dude, oh my God, Rafael Leao's overhead. If that had gone in.
Seriously. But yeah, I mean, Atleti, I don't know. I find it weird to see Griezmann and
Suarez
play together. I mean, what even is that formation?
Dude, they have nothing. If I've seen Atleti enough this season to know that they are running on something called Bhagwan Bharose. they score most of their goals last 15 minutes. They have enough good players, but I don't think even Simeone has figured out what to do. And AC Milan, I saw the extended highlights and AC Milan were playing quite well till Frank Kessié's stupid red card, which was like atrocious decision making by the referee.
Yeah, but
let's talk only about one thing, the penalty. right?
Okay.
Which Atletico won and Suarez converted.
Right.
So, was it a penalty?
Yeah, I wouldn't give it, but I mean, when it comes to penalties or fouls in general, they had overcorrected to make it, I don't know, in the too much in the favor of the fouled person, which they have gone back on. I mean, in United circles, it's been called a Bruno rule, where because Bruno was getting a lot of penalties, they are now allowing more force and judging on intent about whether to give a foul inside or outside the box. But somehow this hand-to-ball rule, they haven't changed or haven't changed, modified enough. I mean, the ball literally was sandwiched between those players. And somehow, I don't know, the VAR or ref saw the ball touch
defender's hand. Didn't the ball touch Lemar first before it went to Kululu's hand?
And literally, I mean, I don't know whether there's a measure in the metric system that measures the distance between Lamar's tummy and the defender's hand.
Man, and all it required was Suarez like fluffing his panenka kick, but somehow the ball just going in.
Yeah, well, again, it was inches away from the goalie's feet.
All right. Anyway, yeah, I mean, after a long time, I felt like it was a good Champions League weekday where we saw some really cool things. And let's hope this continues. And since Florentino Perez has lost a lot of money betting on Real Madrid yesterday, and he may come back with a super very soon.
Okay. Right.
All right. So we're going to take a break now. After the break, let's try and talk a little about the Premier League and what's going to go happen on this weekend, because it's a big match, City versus Liverpool. So stay tuned to Football Twaddle. All right. Welcome back to Football Twaddle. Yash is still here. What's up, Yash?
Hey, man.
Before I talk to you about David Moyes and West Ham, did you see Firmino score a goal where Porto's keeper ran 45 yards behind just to...
Yeah, I mean, the goals Porto conceded, the defending was literally worse than what we do in our little five-a-side turf games. They were literally so easy and so much crazy shit was happening. I mean, in our turf games, the goalie is usually like a running goalie. So he does all sorts of crazy things and you can score more goals and it's a lot of fun. So yeah, too bad Liverpool was not reciprocating with that style of play.
All right. So let's talk about Premier League. So this is what David Moyes has said. Declan Rice reaffirms commitment to West Ham as David Moyes calls him one of Europe's best young midfielders.
Yeah.
Looks like in the common parlance, a new CFL has been uncovered, Yash.
That's true. A CFL and that too... I mean, despite what he said, this is literally a shopping window move to declare him one of Europe's best and say that he's committed, quote unquote, which clearly means he isn't. Like West Ham want to make like 100 million pound plus money on him.
Yes. So, but let's start with one of the things. Is he one of Europe's best young midfielders?
How young is he? 23. I don't think he's going to learn newer tricks. So. He isn't. He's just big and strong and fast. But youth does not last long. So he has that for 4 or 5 years, maybe. That's it. After that, he's going to be another Mark Noble.
Oh, man. So, but David Moyes chose a very interesting way. In the press conference, for the Europa League press conference, right. He says this. He says, I don't like saying it in front of him, but he's arguably one of the best young midfielders. So in the press conference, he says, but he doesn't like saying it in front of Declan Rice. What sort of passive-aggressive praise is this?
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? Backhanded compliments all around.
All right. So, let's see what are the games this weekend. And
we didn't talk about Chelsea losing to City.
That's
a big result.
We are getting there. And let me do the segue for you here. Right? So, City lose to PSG. But before that, they play probably the best performance and beat Chelsea. And Liverpool is riding high with Salah, Sané, and Firmino scoring. So this weekend, let's talk about Manchester City versus Liverpool. That's the segue, Yash. Now you are going to say about how you felt Manchester City overpowered Chelsea and their 8 defenders.
Yeah, I mean, they had to get one over Chelsea, right? Chelsea won, 3 games in a row? So I'm sure Pep must have figured out some way to score against this Chelsea team, despite their defense.
I saw a YouTube video where they show Pep talking to his squad, and the headline of the video was, Pep uncovers Tuchel's tactics in 25 seconds. But actually, so talking about that topic, right? These big teams, if they play so often against each other, first of all, the Chelsea City match was quite boring. But if they play each other so often, at some point, it'll be like, "Arey, yeah." Just becomes stale.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and one team can get one over the other. I mean, it was such a ricochet goal that Jesus scored. Our man, Jorginho, is not made for closing defending, right?
He doesn't need to do all that. So, City started a very weird way this season. I mean, you can see they don't have a striker, and it looks like they always struggle to score goals. But the performance against Chelsea, like, that was like peak City as well.
Yeah, the defense was fantastic. The dribbling was good. The passing was brilliant. I mean, they look the part of champions.
So, yes, all this leads me only to one question. What's going to happen against Liverpool? It's at Anfield. The crowd is back.
I think Liverpool will shade it. They're in great form. I know that away from home, they had that 3-3 thriller against Brentford, which was probably the match of the weekend. But I think Salah is in great form, and Thiago is coming around. Everything. I mean, Liverpool was suffering from injuries for more than a season or so. But things are coming around, right? And I think Klopp totally has Pep's number. Klopp and this Liverpool team is one of the few teams which can really put City on the back foot. And that's what's going to happen at Anfield, is what I feel.
All right. So I'm assuming this is going to be a match of the week. But before that, we need to do something. Who has been your player of the week?
Player of the week? I'm going to say Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. As our man Troops calls him, Obama.
And yes, can you please explain why is Oba your player?
Because he literally has gone missing for more than a year, right? But now looking at the state of Arsenal, I think Aubameyang thinks that maybe, you know, he'll get one more contract. Like Arsenal will be so bad that maybe in 3 years he'll get one more contract to play for 3 more years or whatever. So he really pulled the performance out of the bag, and in that North London derby, he seemed the better striker on the field. A much better one than our man Harry Kane.
Dude, Harry is not. I mean, he's just jogging. It's like just watching Messi walk, which Messi does like 70% of the time. But Messi knows what he's doing. Harry Kane is just like trying to spot stars.
No, he gave an assist to Saka as if it was an England game.
That was so weird, man. What does Spurs do with Harry Kane, since we are on the topic?
No, man. He's injured for a month or so every season. So they should just tell him, go sort your shit out, sort your head out, decide what to do in life. We'll just lie to the press that you're injured.
You know what Harry Kane resembles? Do you remember Andy Dufresne trying to throw rocks out of his pocket in Shawshank Redemption? Just walking aimlessly. That's what he plays like now. He's like aimlessly just walking around. My name is Andy Dufresne. Right. So, wait. Who do I choose player of the week? Can you suggest some good player?
Honest. Brentford player, dude.
Nah, screw it. I'll choose the Everton player. Abdoulaye Doucouré. He scored. And Everton, for some reason, because they're so boring and Benitez is their manager, none of us talk about them, but they are doing pretty well. In fact, they're doing better than they were ever doing under Ancelotti. I'm not saying
that's not true. Ancelotti started the season on fire. This guy's lost to Aston Villa 3-0, I think, in the previous
game. Yeah, Ancelotti started the season well with 3 or 4 games. Here, Everton's already done 6 games. And they are the same number of points as City, Chelsea, United, and Brighton. So,
yeah.
All right. So, game of the week, yours is Liverpool versus
City.
Manchester City. What's the scoreline going to be? What's your prediction?
My prediction is 3-2 to Liverpool. Exciting game.
It can't be that exciting. Yeah. It's a Pep Guardiola team.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, Ferran Torres and someone will score.
Ferran Torres.
Oh, Salah fine. Will score like two and...
Will Raheem Sterling score?
No, dude. I don't think he scores a lot of goals in big games anymore.
What happened to Sterling? Why? Why is he...
Oh, I don't think he was great anyway. And he has a lot of athletic ability and decent ball skills, but that's about it. It's just De Bruyne and the other team who made him look fantastic. He's never shown really for England. I mean, apart from those easy games. And so right now, if you do enough Oppo research, you know the runs that he makes. It's the same run to the back post he makes, the same dribble, dribble, dribble to the center and nothing he does. So.
But if you do opposition research, you should not even let anyone mark Raheem Sterling because, you know, even front of an open goal also he'll miss.
No, no. I think he has that much ability to score at least one out of 10 shots.
Let me send you a YouTube compilation of Raheem Sterling's misses.
It's okay. I mean, he's been in Man City for 6 years. The number of chances he must have got must be endless. So
correct.
It's okay.
But I'm going to watch Spurs versus Aston Villa because, and I will be supporting Spurs because I really like Nuno. And I don't want him to be sacked for no fault of his.
Okay. As much as I like Nuno, I don't think Spurs is the club for him.
But I think Spurs
is like Arsenal on steroids. No, they like their style of play and philosophy and crap. Nuno is too practical for them.
So, like, dude, it's okay. It's not like I'm saying that I'm wedded to Spurs. No, I'm just supporting Nuno for this game.
That's okay.
And let's get some Son goals.
Oh yeah, that'd be
fun. Against Aston Villa. Yeah. What time is United Villarreal? Is it starting in an hour?
What time is it? Yeah, in an hour.
So let's do one thing. What's your prediction for that game? And we will keep it on the podcast because by the time it comes tomorrow, we'll know whether you're a faffer or do you actually know football.
It'll be a 2-0 thrashing of Villarreal.
What do you mean 2-0 thrashing?
It'll be a very boring game, dude. United Villarreal are all boring games. It's just so it'll feel like those two goals are a big achievement by United to break through that low block that Villarreal play.
All right. So let's see if it's going to be a 2-0. I am going to say 1-0 Villarreal victory. Oh, what will happen if there's a 1-0 Villarreal victory? What will happen to Ole?
No, nothing. I told you, no? He's too stable. Dude, United fans are too loyal, man. I mean, okay, I like Mourinho, but I knew his time was up at United. So I wanted him to go. But there's this passionate section of Mourinho fans who actually go to Old Trafford and all who are still loyal to Mourinho. So there's no way he's getting sacked. If Ole gets sacked, I mean, people will burn something down in Manchester.
All right.
And elsewhere.
Man, let's hope it doesn't come to that. And let's just see which one of our predictions come true. All right, Yash, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All righty, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.